We welcome you to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O
Our first hymn is, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. A reading from Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire, and thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beware. Oh no, what is it? Falling rocks ahead? The Ides of March? Is the government coming to take us away? Or is it the milk? Better smell it first. Tell us, what must we beware of, Jesus? Oh, false prophets. That's it? I thought it would be something dangerous. We live our lives thinking that the real dangers are dangers to our body, don't we? We have locks on our doors, police, and first responders to protect us, but the real danger isn't that someone would hurt or harm our body. The real danger is not even that we would die, but it is that we would die in false belief, clinging to an idol instead of clinging by faith to the true God in Christ. Jesus doesn't warn us about the dangers of muggers or crooked politicians or high fructose corn syrup. He says, "Beware of false prophets." And he says it a lot. Jesus gives this solemn duty to beware because he loves you. And he does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. False teaching is dangerous. It kills eternally, because it destroys faith. You know where faith comes from? Hearing. And hearing comes from preaching, and preachers are sent by God, except, of course, when they're not. As it says in Jeremiah, "I, the Lord, did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied." Just because someone is preaching doesn't mean that she or he was sent by the Lord. Beware false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. You don't judge a pastor or teacher on the basis of his personality. That's not the fruit. And we know from experience that there are many grumpy pastors who teach the truth, who deliver law and gospel clearly. And there are many false prophets who are always happy. Jeremiah was called to preach God's wrath and repentance to a land filled with prophets, saying only nice happy thoughts. But none of them were God's word, God's joy, and God's hope. I'm guessing if you psychoanalyzed the prophets like Isaiah and Elijah, they'd all be diagnosed with clinical depression. Jeremiah did write the book called Lamentations. But personality, happy or grumpy, isn't the fruit of a prophet. It isn't the success of the prophet's ministry that you judge, whether it is growing or not. If you did, the greatest prophet in Europe is Mohammed, and in America, Joseph Smith. And how does Jeremiah's prophetic career compare? You can't judge by the outward life of the teacher. You can't even judge by how often he mentions God or if she does supernatural works. On that day, many will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many great wonders in your name?" And Jesus will declare to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." These are not the fruits of a prophet. The fruit of a farmer is his crop. The fruit of a carpenter is his building. The fruit of a preacher is his preaching and teaching. It is his doctrine. That's what you judge. Does their teaching match the Bible? Is their law and is their gospel and is it properly distinguished? God gives it to every Christian to judge doctrine, to judge the teaching that we take in, to beware. And wow, this takes effort. There's no shortcut. It isn't saving faith to believe something in our hearts. God wants the truth in our hearts. And he wants the truth not only in our hearts, he also wants it confessed with our mouths, confessed by the church that we join, confessed by the Christians that we agree with and commune with. God wants amen to his doctrine, both internally and externally. Now, amen is not just the preacher's word. It's not just something that the people get to say in the pew. It means this is most certainly true. That means that when you say amen, you confess the truth against false teachers, or you follow false prophets right away from Christ. So beware. Pay attention to the teaching. Is their fruit the gospel truth, the same said voice of the good shepherd? Or is it the dressed up false, rotten voice of a hireling wolf? Because the wolf is ravenous. Whether slowly or all at once, Satan works through every false doctrine to snatch the gospel right out of your conscience. We have the scriptures and sound teaching more and easier than ever before, and yet false prophets still abound. Satan overcomes our advantage with his lies when he says, "That's too hard to understand," or, "I really don't read anymore." And if by God's grace we are ashamed that we have despised his word, then Satan tries to use that to paralyze us. "I don't know the Bible, but I'll just let the experts worry about doctrine." Do you know these thoughts? They sound flattering, but they do a pastor no honor and a congregation no favors. "You don't need to be worried about doctrine and all that Bible stuff," he says. "Just follow your heart." Well, God save us. Isn't that our world's false prophecy du jour? Jeremiah's too. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'Oh, it'll be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.'" Have you heard Christians living on that sort of fruit? "I may not know the Bible, but I know what my heart tells me." Get behind us, Satan. Lord, lead us to repentance. God knows what is in the heart of man, but who has paid attention to his word and listened? Dear saints, you need to know your Bible. You need to read it and study it and pray it. If you can't read or embarrass, don't let Satan shame you into giving up. Compel your pastor to preach on the scriptures and to do it all week long. I mean, you've called a man and are keeping him alive to do just that. Use him for all he is worth. And if you are listening diligently to your pastor, you will know if he is a false prophet. Be like Saint Mary if you hear the word of Christ, the seed in his fruit, and sit down at his feet and listen. Beloved, baptized in Christ, you've got to treasure the Lord's true teaching, not because it's a law or a rule to follow, but because it is our desperate need. Hear and give attention as if your life depended on it, as if your congregation's future depended on this doctrine alone. because it does. The Lord's truth is not only more precious than life, it is the only thing worth dying for. Now, this is a lot of law that Christ sets before us here in this reading. His command is to beware, but it is different, though, because the gospel itself is at stake. False doctrine exists to cut you off from the Lord's forgiveness, that you would believe that Jesus' blood is not for you, because the forgiveness of sins isn't really what you need, or that you don't actually have that. This is why Jesus is so urgent today. All false doctrine pulls us away from Him, just as all true doctrine glorifies Him and hands Him over as the only Savior of sinners. Thanks be to God, you have the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, because they always testify to this true Jesus. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, says Psalm 119. The Scriptures are bright, they enlighten. The Scriptures are inspired, they are God's own Word, breathed out by His Holy Spirit. The Scriptures are efficacious, they do what they say and give what they promise. The Scriptures are inerrant and infallible. They have the unerring, infallible God as their author. And the Scriptures are sufficient. They need no enhancement to make wise unto salvation. And the Holy Scriptures are all of these because God is man in Christ. He looks out on this congregation, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and He has compassion. He has sent many a true preacher to speak the true doctrine into your ears, and He makes you His own, shaping you to hear His voice and no other. That is your Lord's promise, and you can trust it. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. And Jesus promises if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know the doctrine, whether it is from God or from a mere man's authority, John 7. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Jesus is that one. God's glory is to be the crucified one for you, who does the will of his Father for you. The Scriptures are not vague about what God's will is. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John 6. Christ seeks out that lost lamb, often unaware of the wolves, because it is not the will of His Father that any one of these little ones should perish. Matthew 18. Now, how do you do that will? You can't do it. You simply say amen to it. You trust it with all your heart, and you delight in hearing it. Because God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh, which do not want God's name to be hallowed or His kingdom to come. And when He keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die. This is His good and His gracious will. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Church throughout all the world, God's and God.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we beseech you, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have commanded us to pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. Of your infinite mercy, give us true teachers and ministers of your word, and put your saving gospel in their hearts and on their lips, that they may truly fulfill your command and preach nothing contrary to your holy word. That we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by your heavenly word, may do those things which are well-pleasing to you and profitable to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran Churches of the Missouri Synod in the Wahpeton-Breckenridge area. This morning's broadcast was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to worship with us at Trinity. Divine service is held every Sunday at 9:30 in the summer. If you have any questions regarding the Bible or the Lutheran Church, or any comment regarding this morning's broadcast, kindly address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.